Another strike against the wind power industry has been its impact on wildlife, especially birds. Until recently, power companies and other industries could be held responsible for egregious bird mortality through the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. But in December, the Department of the Interior announced that companies that take or kill birds accidentally will no longer be prosecuted under the act. A legal memo from the department explaining the decision says that fines or even possible jail time hang over the heads of businesses that are just trying to do their work. Many environmentalists and bird advocacy organizations have denounced the decision, including 17 former directors and high-level appointees of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I spoke with Jim Bonner, executive director of the Audubon Society of Western Pennsylvania, about it.
How many birds are killed each year by wind turbines, power lines, other industry?
Bird mortality falls into a lot of different categories. Collisions with anything are one of the highest. According to U.S. Fish and Wildlife statistics from 2016, they estimate that collisions with buildings on average are about 300 million, with vehicles about 200 million, electrical power lines about 25 million, communication towers about 6 to 7 million, oil pits, which aren't a collision, but about 750,000, and wind turbines at about 200,000.
So it sounds like buildings are a bigger problem than industry like the wind industry or communications towers.
Well, certainly bird deaths of any type are undesirable, but you'd look at the things that are more preventable. And that does fall into collisions with buildings and windows, and there are things that can be done to minimize that. But a number of the industrial ones are also things that are preventable, and that's happened over the years. Various types of industries, the oil pits or other things were discovered to be a problem, you would create netting or other material to put over it so that they could be minimized. Same thing with wind turbines. As they started to become more common, taking a close look at the sighting and the speed at which they spin and the time of day in which they're operating, particularly for migratory birds, most of the smaller songbirds migrate at night, flying long distances during the evenings and usually flying at relatively low heights. So as they are flying by, if there are active turbines running during peak migration, they pose a much greater risk. And so many sites are looking at radar data. You can actually see when large numbers of birds are coming through at certain times to be able to shut down or alter the turbines in some way to minimize the deaths.
The Trump administration has decided that the Migratory Bird Treaty Act no longer applies to accidental killing of birds. And they're not going to prosecute businesses that accidentally kill migratory birds. What kind of message does this send?
Well, I think their interpretation is turning back 100 years worth of precedent. You have to look at the history where it came from. 100 years ago, it was the millinery trade that had been really threatening a number of birds, particularly birds such as the great egret.
People making hats,
using them decoratively. There was a time when collecting bird eggs and just displaying those was very popular. And the only way to ensure protection was to have a blanket protection. And the Migratory Bird Treaty Act is very explicit in stating, here is a list of things you cannot do. And by making it a blanket protection, you do not have to look at each time and say, oh, this was the intent or this is what was happening. Now, again, when it gets to prosecution, they're not going to go arbitrarily after Mr. and Mrs. Jones for helping an injured bird. But they are going to look at things that are repeated, that are large, that are part of a pattern that can help protect birds. Because birds, where they thrive, people do as well. The old adage of a canary in a coal mine is as important today as it always has been. And so we look at them as indicators of what's going on around us. And so the more that we're able to protect them and keep them safe, the better it's going to be for us.
When someone is collecting bird eggs or collecting birds, that is intentional. The Trump administration and others who are interpreting this act, incidental means that you're not doing it on purpose, but your actions result in the death of birds.
And that is a very interesting point of law, is determine what is intentional. There are many things that we do that we may not expect or intend something to go wrong, but they can. You don't expect to get into a car accident just because you've gone out and had drinks. But if you are drinking and driving and you get into an accident, yes, you're responsible for what happened. It's the same thing. If you're spreading a large amount of chemicals and say, I wasn't expecting birds to ingest this, or if you were, you know, leaving exposed areas in a known migratory route and birds died from it, you could say, yes, I wasn't intending that to happen, but you should have had a reasonable expectation that it could, that it had in the past, and that you'd be responsible if it did again.
So what impact could this decision have for holding companies accountable or just for prevention?
Well, the impact, I don't think we'll know yet what all can happen, but it will remove from the arsenal of prosecutors or enforcement agencies a tremendous number of resources. I think what needs to be looked at is, again, the history of this is it has always been used as a way to adapt and create best practices. As each new industry has come on, and if that's posed a risk to migratory birds, there's been approaches and adaptions made to minimize those. So again, using open oil pits as an example, when that was identified and looked at and prosecuted at some times in the past, adding nets to it, covering them, using enclosed ones became the norm. Same thing with wind turbines. There have been prosecutions of turbines for problems, and that's resulted in much better science around the siting of them, the orientation of them, the management of them. So it's an adaptive management process, but it has to start somewhere. Saying that it shouldn't exist means you'll never get to a good place.
What would you or the Audubon Society like to see happen going forward?
We'd like to see a return to what has been 100 years of enforcement, of looking at it as a tool to help birds. There has to be a balance of things at this time where there seems to be a concern over over-regulation being the driving concern. Recently, talking with some people and using an example, is it's kind of like going to your doctor's, and you get to your doctor's and he says, hey Jim, your weight's down, your blood pressure is doing good, all your blood chemistries looks great, you can go back and start smoking again. You would never say something like that. That's kind of a ridiculous scenario to have. It seems to be the concern that we have right now, that this current administration, that any regulation is bad when regulation actually helps drive improvements.
What kinds of birds does this affect?
Everything from a hummingbird up to a bald eagle. Covers over 1,000 species. These are native birds to the countries that are involved. They are typically birds that migrate, whether that's across state lines or international lines. But I believe the current number is about 1,027 birds that are covered by the Act. There are exceptions that are made for hunting. There are exceptions made for certainly non-native species, such as the European starling or the English house sparrow, and some other introduced species are not included in it. Discussions come up. Birds are added or subtracted every year as science determines whether they're a true native species, or there's sometimes lumping and splitting of species. So basically most of the birds that you might see in your backyard.
Thank you very much for talking with me.
Well, thank you.
Jim Bonner is executive director of the Audubon Society of Western Pennsylvania. Someone who's seen bird mortality in the wind industry up close is Harley Winfrey. He's a wildlife biologist, and for the last 10 years, he's been working with nonprofits, universities, and government to get the all-important location, location, location of wind turbines right.
My job is to collect information about what's going on these sites and hopefully to prevent problems before they happen.
Winfrey says while the Migratory Bird Treaty Act is important, energy companies are also paying close attention to the Endangered Species Act and the Bald Eagle Protection Act of 1940. in addition to state and local permits. In fact, he says a really effective way to protect migratory birds from wind projects is people getting together to earmark land for conservation.
When I see a wind farm being proposed and we're looking at maps on siting, things like nature preserves and local land conservancies, those are immediately red flags on the map that the energy companies are going to try to avoid building near those places.
Winfrey says these wind projects also take a long time to build, longer than a single administration. So it's in the energy company's interest to do more than the law requires, because they know the political pendulum could easily swing back in the other direction. There's a lot more at our website, alleghenyfront.org. I'm Carol Holsapple. You're listening to The Allegheny Front.